It is time for the special feature on the Warren County Radio Bible School, and this is when we read from the bulletin called the Rock Cliff Review that is passed out on Sunday mornings at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff, which contains usually in the main article something of a summary of the sermon that people that are gathered there together are about to hear. I write these bulletin articles, and the article of this bulletin is called Stand Fast. Paul had two main reasons to write his second letter to the Thessalonians. He wanted to remind them of the second coming of our Lord and clear up some misconceptions some had of this event. But beyond that, he wanted to encourage them to remain steadfast amid the persecutions they were facing. Notice how Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2, "We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren." Paul then told them about the Lord's coming on vengeance on those who were troubling them, that he would not come until there was a falling away first, and how the man of sin would be revealed. 2 Thessalonians 4, 1 in verse 4 through 2 in verse 12. Then in 2 Thessalonians 2 in verse 13, he begins again. "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord." Do you see the similarity in those two verses? 2 Thessalonians 1 in verse 2, "We're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren." And 2 Thessalonians 2 in verse 13, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord." This is where Paul turns to admonishing encouragement. And he continues this to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5. Paul writes, "God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 14. From the beginning, God had chosen them to hear the gospel call to glory. They had responded to that call in faith, and through sanctification of the Spirit, they were saved. It is the Spirit that set them apart by giving them the gospel truth to believe and obey. Thus, it may be properly said that their salvation was a gift of the Holy Spirit. I suggest that this can help us understand the gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 39. Every person saved is saved by the gospel, and the gospel was given by the Holy Spirit. Thus, every salvation is a gift of the Spirit. Then Paul gives his first two admonitions. "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle." 2 Thessalonians 2:15. In their hardships, Paul had sent Timothy to encourage them that no man should be moved by these afflictions, 1 Thessalonians 3:3, and had told them, "Now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord," 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 8. So Paul is encouraging them in 2 Thessalonians to keep standing as they had been standing. The traditions they were to hold included the ordinances that had been handed down to them from the Holy Spirit through the apostles' teaching. Paul would later write to the saints at Corinth, "I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. In Corinth, these ordinances and traditions included such things as their behavior in the assemblies, their taking of the Lord's Supper, and their assembling on the first day of the week. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, For this cause I have sent to you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul taught the same traditions and ordinances in every church, and they established a pattern of work, worship, and order for those churches. These practices made the church distinctive in the Roman religious world. Paul said he was confident that they would do the things he commanded, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 4. We can infer what these traditions were from the account in Acts and from the epistles, and we can do the same. Paul requested their prayers for him and those that were with him as he preached the gospel in Corinth, saying, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith." 2 Thessalonians 3, 1-2. Paul again reminded them of the everlasting consolation and good hope, 2 Thessalonians 2, 16, and of their patient waiting for Christ, 2 Thessalonians 3, 5. This confidence in the love and faithfulness of God and their hope for the coming of Christ would comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work, 2 Thessalonians 2, 17. And establish you and keep you from evil, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3. No doubt this letter fortified and encouraged the saints in Thessalonica, as it continues to fortify and encourage us. Their hope is our hope, brethren beloved. Therefore stand fast. Now we read from the Rock Cliff Review, because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we are now studying a Sunday school lesson on Paul's writing to the saints in Corinth. It was written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of October the 18th, 1925. And we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that great epistle on love. And we're now come to the section in this Sunday school lesson called What is Love? Let me read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. Here's where we read. Let me turn to that text. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not his own, is not provoked, taketh not account of evil, rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. What then is love? The King James Version says, charity, but is more than what is commonly called charity. We might think of charity as love in action. The Revised Versions, both from Oxford and the American Standard Version, say love, as do most of the modern versions of the Bible. With most people, love ordinarily means an animal passion or a peculiar reference or partiality for some object or person. In Greek, one word expressed love between the sexes, and quite a different one was used to express the idea or the principle mentioned here. In the New Testament, love, God's love for us, our love for God, and our love for one another, is an active principle and not an animal passion. We're commanded to love God more than we love father, mother, wife, children, houses, and other possessions. We're not commanded to love one another as Christians from the heart fervently. We are commanded to love one another as Christians from the heart fervently. 1 Peter 1:22. To love our neighbors as ourselves, and to love our enemies. Matthew 5:43-48. That high and sacred principle which lifts us above earthly possessions and selfishness and prompts us to obey God and serve Him at any hazard is love. God is love, John says. Love is so much a part of God's nature that John said this twice. That which He had done for the race in mercy, grace, and goodness in every way, and especially in sending Jesus to die to save men, was done by love. Hereby know we love, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. 1 John 3:16. When we love God, we will obey Him. When we do not obey Him, we do not love Him. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. 1 John 5:3. When we serve men, we love them. When we treat our brethren, our neighbors, and our enemies as God directs, we love them. When we do not do so, and don't treat them so, we do not love them. Faith without works is dead. And there is no love without deeds of service. That's why the King James Version translates this charity, love in action. These verses personify love and tell us what love does and what it does not do, and how it behaves under all circumstances, or how he who loves God and men behave themselves. He who does not so act does not love. And so we read, love suffereth long with the mistakes and faults of others, but admonishes the disorderly, encourages the faint-hearted, supports the weak, and is long-suffering toward all. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. For love covereth a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4:8. Love is patient and forbearing. It does not uphold and encourage a man in sin, but rather it helps him out of it. Love is kind. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, renders to no man evil for evil, prays for enemies, and does good to all men. Love envieth not, but rejoices with those who rejoice, Romans 12:15, and with those who are honored, 1 Corinthians 12:26. Envy is a low and mean principle which originates with Satan. There's nothing too sneaking low and mean for it to do. Love wishes well and rejoices over real good from anyone. God forbids that man should rejoice at the downfall of an enemy. Love vaunteth not itself. It is retiring. It does not push itself forward and does not wise in its own conceit. Love is not puffed up or inflated with pride. It is not proud and vain. It minds not all high things, but condescends to those that are lowly. Romans 12:16. Love doth not behave itself unseemly. It is truly polite and courteous to all. It is of good and gentle manners, and behaves itself in all occasions in a becoming way. Love seeketh not her own. It is purely unselfish and seeks the good of all. Love is not provoked, but on the other hand taketh not account of evil. It possesses a smooth and even temper, and does not allow the evil of others to provoke it, And frets not because of evil doers, Proverbs 14:19, neither does it think evil, or devise evil, or help circulate evil.